What's up, guys? In school, I have a class with Pastor Dave Rao. You guys know Dave? He's a pretty cool cat. You guys didn't sound very happy when I said it. Yeah, I know Dave. He's the guy always busting everybody for riding skateboards around campus. But you know what? It has to be done. We can't be like running over people and stuff. But anyways, guys, one thing he says about his class, he says it's the bunkhouse. Now, you guys probably don't know what a bunkhouse is, but it's kind of like, you know, like the cowhands on a ranch? Is that right? They all sleep in this one building, this place where they're playing cards. They all come together and just kind of let it all hang out, you know, just whatever's on their mind, whatever's going on, they can just talk about it. So we get pretty personal in there, and we're able to kind of share some things. Now, I have a question for you. It might get a little personal, but have you guys ever had a book report due, kind of getting down to crunch time? So you take the book that you're supposed to use, kind of flip to the last page, kind of read the ending, or maybe you just kind of read the back of the book and kind of gives you the outline, what the whole book's about, and you just kind of copy it word for word. Have you guys ever done that before? Man, you guys are... Hey, all I got to say, I'm not promoting anything, but I'm just trying to level with you here. Just let's be honest about it. We've done that. But what we're going to do tonight, guys, we're going to look at the book of Hebrews, okay? And we're going to take the last chapter. We're going to take all the goodies, kind of everything that Paul, the writer of Hebrews, wanted to say. He kind of brought everything at the end. And he says, now this is what I want you to walk away with. This is what I want to impact your life. I want to take a little bit of everything that I talked about, and I want to kind of hone on some things and really focus on it. So just kind of like when you do a book report last minute, kind of flip to the back. We're going to do the same thing. But I never did that growing up. I was a pretty good student.
Yeah, right.
It is bad. It is bad. So anyways, guys, me and my wife went out to eat last night. It's been a little while since we've done that. And we went to ABQ Uptown. You guys ever been there?
Yeah.
Pretty nice place. What's that? Dude, we went there. So this is kind of how the night started. We go to the Elephant Bar. It's about, I don't know, 5:30, around there, 5:45. We order the meal. You know, the smell of food is in the air. Everybody's laughing, having a good time. Me and my wife are talking. She orders some tea. She got fish. I got ribs. Pretty darn good. Now, I kind of have a tendency. I like baby back ribs. I don't think they were baby back ribs. They were kind of fatty, but that's beside the point. Anyways, I'm saying the night was going smooth. It was good. Everybody was talking. The smell of food was in the air. It was just a great evening. Later on that night, we went to the movies. We saw the Bourne Ultimatum. Is that right? Yeah. We went to the Dollar Theater, so we got a good deal there. Yeah. And then we come home that night, and the people that we live with, they tell us, they're like, hey, did you hear what happened? I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, there was a stabbing right where you were at. And I guess between 6:30 and 7 at Uptown, right at the Starbucks, two people were stabbed. One lady, I believe they were both rushed to the hospital. One lady died. And the other guy, I believe, is, I don't know the outcome, but he I don't think he was doing good either. But I know one lady died. And it's kind of interesting. We're only about 100 yards away from each other. And one place was filled with excitement and just everybody having a good time. And the other place was filled with horror. And I want to ask you guys a question. If you could imagine the end of your life, what would your epilogue or the conclusion of your life look like? When I was in Bible college, I would go street witnessing a lot. And we'd ask the question, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? That's a pretty good question. That brings about a lot of emotion, a lot of feelings, a lot of questions. Wow, where would I go? That's a good question. And in light of last night, we were only 100 yards away from horror, but yet we found ourselves having a good time. And I kind of want to use that in light of Ray's teaching on Wednesday, if you guys were here. He said that we must die if we want to follow Christ. He says, if you are dead tonight, well, he said, if you want to follow Christ, you must die if you want to follow Jesus. So guys, if you are dead tonight, I know Wednesday there was a whole bunch of students that came up here and said, I want to follow Jesus. I want to commit my life. I've already made him my savior, but you know what? I know how my life plays out throughout the week. I want to say, I want to follow Christ. And I know if Courtney has any part in that, it's not going to work out. But I want Jesus, the one that is the center of my life. I want him to be the focus. And for that to happen, what did Ray talk about? We must what? Pick up our cross. We must follow him. We must. Exactly. We must ourselves die and make him Lord. We must take up our cross, that picture of death, and apply it to our lives so that Christ can be the one that is glorified and can be the one that is working through us. If you are dead tonight, what does your life look like? Or I could ask you the question, what is your face of death? You're like, what does that mean? Well, if we're to be dead, what do you look like? Obviously, I'm not talking about something that's morbid or weird. I'm talking about that of, if Christ is the one that's living in you, what do you look like? When people see you, what do they see? There's a story about Stephen in the book of Acts. And he was sharing the gospel all the way from the Old Testament to the New, to what was going on right then with Jesus coming onto the scene. And it says of Stephen that they saw his face as the face of an angel. So what did Stephen's face of death look like? The face of an angel. And it goes on to say, as they were getting ready to pick up stones to kill him, that he said, Lord, forgive them, for they don't realize what they're doing. He said, forgive them. And they stoned him and they killed him. But Stephen's face of death, it was that of glorifying God. What about Moses? You guys remember the story of Moses when he went up to the mountain and he received the Ten Commandments and he came back down from the mountain and he was talking with Israel and it says his face shone or shined while he talked to Israel to the point that they had to put a veil over his face because people were blinded and it terrified people because he was in the presence of God. Do you guys walk in such a way to where people recognize there's something different about this guy? Or do we all kind of just blend in? When you're at school, you're kind of like the chameleon. When you're at church, you're the best Christian in town. When you're on the basketball team, you're the basketball player, and you do a good job. But in every aspect of your life, is Jesus the thing that shines? Is your face of death Jesus? Are you glorifying God? It says in Matthew 16, and we went over this on Wednesday, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Guys, if you want to please God and have fulfillment on this side of heaven, You must put your ambitions, your desires to the side. And the thing that must go before you is that of what God wants for your life. Because we're going to come in situations to where we have a choice. Do we follow God or do we follow ourselves? Do you guys agree that we're pretty selfish people? We take care of numero uno. You know, first thing we think about in the morning is, man, I need to feed myself. I need to get some Captain Crunch. I don't know. What do you guys like to eat? Captain Crunch? Cookies and Lucky Charms. You know what, guys? It's really... Okay. I got you. Okay. There's a cereal factory, isn't it, in this town? General Mills? Oh, my goodness. You wake up in the morning, and you just smell like Fruit Loops in the air, I think. Lucky Charms and stuff. It's crazy. But the fact of the matter is, guys, we take care of ourselves, don't we? We look out for ourselves. Do you guys remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yeah? Do you guys remember what happens when they were told, you must bow down? You must bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar. Do you guys remember that story? And what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
They were put into a fiery furnace.
Exactly. Let's go a little bit before that and see what happens. It says this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said this to the king. It says, we have no need to answer you in this matter. For if you want to throw us in the fire for not worshiping you, if that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So the same question was asked to them. I think they liked their life. I don't think they wanted to die. I don't think they had a death wish and they're just waiting for it to come along. So guys, in this situation, are you going to serve yourself and bow down to the ambitions, to your personal desires? Or are you going to lay it down and serve God and serve others? It's a good question. You might say this, I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you know what? When you do that, all these things will be added unto you. If you say, Courtney, you're asking me to give up everything, give up my life. Jesus asks you to do that. But this is the key, guys. This is the cool part. If you just seek first God and his kingdom, he takes care of the rest. See, you don't even have to strive for anything. He'll give you what you need. And this is the cool part. You say, well, I know myself. I need some, what I need, I don't want God to give me. He shouldn't give me that. Well, this is the cool part. It says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So as you're delighting in God, your desires, the things that you want, as you're seeking first God's kingdom, guess what he gives you? He gives you the desires of your heart, because as you're trusting in the Lord, as you're walking with the Lord, as your face of death is that of Jesus and not that of self, your desires become God's. Now, I'm just going out on a limb here. If God is able to create some cool cats like you guys, if he is able to create the world, all of creation, all the animals, all the mountains, everything that we can do in them, do you think maybe that his desires might just be a little bit cooler? Or do you guys think you're just that cool? You guys are pretty darn cool, but you're not that cool, okay? I don't think any of us are. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm just being honest with you guys. So guys, your desires, they become what God wants for you as you serve him. Well, guys, I don't want to take up too much of your time, so let's get into Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. This is point one, guys. Let brotherly love continue. We'll say, well, Courtney, this is pretty basic stuff. You know, we can handle this. Let me give you a little picture of what I saw today. I was hanging out at Satellite Coffee, and I saw two young boys and their dad walk in. They ordered two cinnamon rolls, and the dad ordered a breakfast burrito. Now, the older boy, he was probably, I don't know, he might have been maybe fifth, sixth grade. He demolished that cinnamon roll in no time. Now, the younger son, he was probably 3 or 4 years old, and he was taking his time eating it. And that, and then the older kid started saying, man, Dad, that was good. I wouldn't mind having another one. Well, Dad's like, nah, you can't have another one. One's good enough. And the three-year-old boy goes, hey, this, I'll tell you exactly what he said. He goes, here, you have a piece of mine. And a little, I can't really do it justice. It was pretty sweet. A little three-year-old boy saying to his older brother, here, you have a piece of mine. He goes on to say, if you want another one, I will give you a piece every day. I will keep on giving. You guys go, well, I mean, that's kind of childish. I mean, sure, that's great. But where do you find yourself, guys? When you have that last bag of chips, or there's only a half bag left, and your friend comes along and says, hey, can I have some of that? No way, man. This is all I have. This is it. That's love. That he was willing to give. They had the same amount. He had every right to eat everything he had. He had every right, but he gave up his right for the sake of love. Guys, velocity, unless you guys keep Jesus and Christianity simple, unless you keep it simple, you're going to miss the big picture. Jesus says, whoever humbles himself as little children, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We must become as little children to where we don't worry about ourselves, but we're freely giving. Freely giving. So, guys, is that of brotherly love? Let it continue. Let it abide. And you guys, it's a command. It's not so much an option. You guys can't take this one or do without it. It's a command. You're a Christian. You need to be loving your brothers and your sisters. It says in verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. See, guys, not only do we entertain that of people, but we also entertain angels. What are some ways that we might be able to entertain people, our friends, our family? What do you mean by entertain? Well, how might you serve them? I'm sure you guys can come up with some good ideas. But you can't be introverted with that. What's introverted mean? It's a new word to me. I just kind of learned it a couple months ago, to be honest with you. It's all about yourself. You just kind of focus on you. You don't worry about anybody else. You're kind of just, you know, this is the kind of person that just walks around and like everybody's afraid to talk to you because you're like weird because you don't talk to anybody. I kind of naturally am like that sometimes, because I'm nervous around people. But, I mean, if you're going to entertain people, strangers, people that you don't even know, man, you can't be introverted, that's for sure. Can't be selfish. Because if you're like me, it's uncomfortable to talk to the person that you don't know. It's kind of weird sometimes, isn't it? What if they're the biggest weirdo in the world? It's possible. I'm sure a lot of people introduce themselves to me, and they're like, that Courtney guy, he is strange. You guys are like, amen. Have you guys ever heard of a ministry? I can't think. Oh, what is it? Three numbers. Sorry. I think it's 421. Have you guys ever heard of that? 421. 421. What do we do at 421?
Awesomeness. Welcome new students.
Welcome new students. Exactly. We make them feel comfortable. We serve one another. Guys, that's a practical way. It's a ministry here at Velocity to where we want to get outside of ourselves, not be introverted, not be selfish, not just hang out with our own friends, but we want to get out there. And I want to say, hey, nice to meet you. Actually, we don't shake hands here. Just to let you guys know, if you're new, we do this. But don't do it too hard. You might crack some knuckles. It goes on to say, for by doing, some of you have unknowingly entertained angels. That's kind of crazy to think about. And when it says entertain angels, what? I mean, you're entertaining them. I think we are probably pretty entertaining. They're probably thinking, who are these jokers? Why did God choose them? Why did God? Remember, they knew God way before we did. They surround the throne of heaven. They are God's ministering agents. They come and they minister to us. They protect us. They're amongst us. They're messengers. And then they got to sit and watch us screw up, act stupid. I imagine they get a pretty good laugh sometime, because when I'm alone, guys, and if there's an angel around, I don't ever really know about it. I don't really see angels. You guys may. I don't.
Yeah.
Cool. But do you guys, I don't know. I mean, when you guys are in the shower, do you guys ever sing?
Yeah.
So I'm talking about. Or how about this, guys? Do you guys ever just sit in front of the mirror in the bathroom and make weird faces?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, most of us don't really let people know that we do that, because we get pretty weird when we're by ourselves. But can you imagine if there's an angel around and they're checking us out and we're like making all these faces and being goofy and taking our hair and just pulling out and being like, just being goofy, you know? They're probably, God, what are you doing with this guy? There's a story in Genesis 18 where it says three angels showed up on the scene along with Jesus. And Abraham was like, where'd these cats come from? He runs inside, talks to his wife Sarah, and says, hey, get some cake. Go out and get a calf and kill it and start cooking up some food. We need to serve these people. We need to make sure we take care of them. But it was an urgency in his life. Now, what's the emphasis here on entertaining angels? Well, if I know that there's angels hanging out around me, for one, I take great comfort in it. Because they can do some damage. They can take care of business. They can smack me around. They can smack other people around for me. Have you guys heard some of the stories in the Bible what angels can do?
Yeah.
There's one story. I think it deals with Elijah. They were surrounded with the enemy. And he pokes his head outside. And he just sees this fiery chariot with a big sword, fiery sword. He wakes up in the morning and everything has been done. The whole army was just slew, just taken care of. One angel. And they're on our side and we get to entertain them. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty cool. It says in Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Guys, not only do we entertain angels, but we need to keep on pursuing the Lord. And it's kind of comforting knowing that we have a great cloud of witnesses around us. It's pretty encouraging. And it kind of ties in with the next portion of how we serve one another. It says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourself are in the body also. Have you guys ever thought about it that there were Christians before us? And just like we talked about Stephen, he was killed for his faith. In the same way, we look throughout all the centuries and there were Christians that have been killed. And right now, there are Christians that are being killed for what they believe. There are young children professing to believe in Jesus and they're being killed. And when Jesus sees them, he says, well done. Isn't it kind of reassuring to know that there's those that have gone before us and they've won the race? They've won. They have obtained the prize. What if we were the only ones and we were the first people to do this thing called Christianity? And we didn't know if we could really win. We were questioning it. The odds seem to be against us. We see how much evil's going on. But to know that there are people that have gone before us and they've won. What does Kevin always say? What's he always say? We win. We win. You guys, when it talks about remember the prisoners as if chained with them, it means that you need to bind yourself to them, tie yourself together with them. Could you imagine if every day you woke up and you went and saw someone in prison that was suffering for Jesus Christ? Or you read an account of someone that died for Jesus? How would that transform your life? Do you think maybe that you would maybe wake up every morning thinking a little bit clearly? Not being so selfish. If you woke up every morning and you saw someone in prison because they believed in Jesus. And in essence, that's what he's telling us. You need to bind yourself to those prisoners that are prisoners for Jesus Christ. And when you do that, it'll transform the way you think, the way you live, and the way you act. It'll cause your face to not be that one of selfishness, but to be that one that says, look, he shines because he's been with Jesus. Or look, he looks like an angel. There's just something about him. All right, guys, I want to finish off with this. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Morally, what kind of face do you represent morally, guys? You say, what do I have to do with marriage? What do I have to do with marriage? I'm 13 years old. Listen here, guys. Your parents one day were your age, and you were once 6 months old, a year old, 2 years old. Have you guys ever looked at a baby and saw the innocence in their eyes? Yeah. You guys know Emery?
Yeah.
She's about the cutest thing. And when you look at her, she's innocent. She's pure. She doesn't have the influence of the outside world. And it says, marriage is honorable. It's undefiled. But those that cause it to give it dishonor, they will be judged. Guys, these ladies here are your sisters. Ladies, these guys are your brothers. And you guys are children of God. And if you don't think the way we live now and what we do now and the way we look at one another and how we treat one another is going to affect you later, it will. If you can't respect women now, why do you think you'll respect your wife later on? And women, if you don't respect men now and how you treat them, what makes you think you're going to do it later? You guys need to take a deep look at yourselves and ask the question, how do I look at my sister? How do I look at my brother? Is it with eyes of lust? Is that my focus in life? Because that is your sister. You need to respect her. That's God's child. And I don't know how other way to put it, but it's serious. I know we preach it all the time, but it's so true. It needs to be preached all the time. Because just as what Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I don't want to sin against my God. I don't want to look. Just like Joseph fled from that of lust. Just like we're told to flee from youthful lust. You guys need to check your hearts. And the focus on this verse right here is towards the men. You guys are leaders. You're the example. Someday when you get married, you're going to wash your wife with the word of God. You're going to present her to Jesus. And if you can't respect women now, don't think you're going to do it later. And ladies, don't take anything less. You don't deserve it. You deserve the best. Give me 5 more minutes, guys. And this is the neat thing, guys. As we look at our conduct in relationships, our conduct towards people, strangers, our conduct towards the opposite sex, our conduct towards money and how we hold on to things, or do we freely give? Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? And we can say this because Jesus has went outside of the city. What do you mean, went outside of the city? Well, I want you guys to read verses 7 through 17 when you go home tonight. And it says, you know what? The sacrifice back in the Old Testament was killed in the city. Then they took it outside to burn it. And outside was holy. But in the holies of holies where they killed the animal to cover sin, it was considered holy. But you know what? Jesus was killed outside of the city. He was shamed outside of the city. Because we're not talking about something that's within the parameters of a city or within the parameters of a religious organization. We're talking about the simplicity of Christianity in Jesus Christ. We're talking about becoming like little children and serving and loving and respecting one another. It says, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. He's saying, don't focus on anything that's in a box, but focus on God, who is the sustainer and the giver of life. Keep your focus on Jesus. Guys, in light of what I shared with you, the question, I'll be honest with yourselves. If you could imagine the end, what would your conclusion look like? Right now, where do you stand? Do you have the face of death? And what's the face of death mean? It means that you have the face of Jesus. Because we've taken up the cross. We've said we don't want Courtney to live anymore. All of you Velocity students, we don't want to live anymore. But we want Christ to live through us. So what face are you guys wearing? Is it the face that represents Jesus, or is it the face you fill in the blank? I want to read a part of a song. It says, "Everything about you, it takes my breath away," speaking of Jesus. He says, "I tried this once without you, and it was my great mistake. Everything about you, it takes my breath away. I tried this once without you, and it was my great mistake." Do not try to do this thing called Christianity without Jesus, because he is there to help us. He's there to come alongside us. We can boldly come to the Lord because of what he has done and who he is. And in that, we can say, hallelujah, amen. Let's pray, guys. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the students and their attentiveness to your word. Lord, I ask that you would convict our hearts and that you would change us, Lord, and that we would put on your face, and that Courtney would be no more, but it would be you who is evident in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, guys.